Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast. And my last podcast episode was a little bit longer. It was about half an hour. And today's is actually going to be a little bit shorter. I want to talk about the way we define success. And sometimes the lingering sense of guilt or perfectionism that can come in. And it really rob us of the joy that we experience as educators, but also it's something that gets in the way of us, you know, actually being more creative in our practice. So a little bit about me. I started this semester with a goal of meeting one-on-one with each student. Now, I believe in the power of check-ins. I did a podcast episode on this, a couple different episodes about building relationships, and I wanted to make sure my students felt known. That was really important to me. I could tell you all about Anderson and Garrison's research showing the impact of students having a good relationship with the content, with the professor, and with their classmates. And this felt especially true during the pandemic. So that research is over 20 years old, but it has been built on and built on and built on. And we just know that relationships matter. But during this time of pandemic, it feels like so many students are feeling isolated, they're feeling lonely, they're having a tough time. And I wanted to be there for my students. Now, I managed to schedule meetings with all of my students in 5 of the courses that I teach. But I didn't meet one-on-one with any students in the remaining two courses that I teach. Now, I could point to the meetings I had held with professors who were teaching virtually for the first time or teaching hybrid courses for the first time. Or I could tell you about my tenure review process or writing a book or doing professional development with K-12 teachers. But the truth is, none of that really mattered. On Monday, I just had this overwhelming sense that I had failed. I felt like I wasn't enough. I felt like I should have done more as a professor. My mind started racing to the moments I chose to go running or lift weights at 4 p.m. I could have done a Zoom meeting with a student during those times. I could have met with 2 students from the time that I started my workout to the time I ended it, right? I mean, no reason why. Or that time I spent 2 hours putting together a Lego set with my son, or last Thursday and Friday night when I could have had video conferences with students, but instead I watched the final season of Schitt's Creek with my daughter, and yes, we bawled our eyes out. Now, as I talk with other educators, I realize that I am not alone in having these feelings. So many of us are feeling the nagging sense that we should have done just a little bit more. Our lessons could have been just a little bit better. Our assignments could have just been a little bit more precise. We could have checked in more often with students who didn't turn in any work. Meanwhile, for teachers, this pandemic has been so challenging. And I've seen these amazing master teachers, the kind of teachers that I used to work with when I taught middle school, or some of the master teachers I know that I see who take on, you know, student teachers. And these amazing teachers are feeling like they are in their first year of teaching all over again. And, you know, speaking of being a first year teacher, I still remember being an actual first year teacher. This was years and years ago, but I remember feeling overwhelmed. I remember feeling like I wasn't doing enough. I remember feeling like I never accomplished as much as I could. Now, there's actually a fascinating set of research in behavioral economics called the planning fallacy, and it's all about why we tend to overestimate how much we can do in a given allotted amount of time. And that was me my first year of teacher. I was constantly not getting enough done. And I was making mistakes and I was frustrated. And I remember explaining all of these feelings to my mentor teacher. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, John, you need to show yourself the same kind of grace that you show your students. What would you think if a student turned in work every day with no mistakes? Well, I think they needed a bigger challenge, I answered. Exactly. If you're making mistakes, chances are you're learning. You're taking on new challenges. The big warning should be if you start teaching and you don't see any mistakes, that's a sign that you've grown stagnant. Now, the same thing is true for late work, imperfections, and moments when I don't meet my goals. The truth is, I would always allow students to make mistakes or to turn things in late or to fail to meet their highest, biggest goals. I need to show myself the same kind of grace. Yesterday, I was ready to contact every remaining student in a mad dash to make sure that every one of them had a one-on-one conference call with me. But actually, no. I'm going to be okay with imperfection. I'm going to be okay with not doing enough. I'm going to be okay with things not being perfect. The truth is, this has been a hard semester for everyone. Teaching is hard and exhausting. Right now, the air is getting colder, the light is growing more scarce. It's perfectly fine to do less. I remember when I was a new teacher, around the same time that I had talked to Brad, I was still just feeling overwhelmed. And my principal gave me a piece of advice, and it wasn't even advice, it was an affirmation. I was staying late right before the end of the semester, and I was working hard. I was grading every single final paper, and you get the idea. And my principal said, John, don't chase perfection. You are enough. You've done enough. It's not perfect, but it's good work. Now go home. I remember telling her that I had one more pile to grade and one more thing to do, and she said, my fear for you is that if you chase perfection, you'll do amazing work, but you'll never find joy in the work that you do. It's easy at the end of a semester to think that we need to sprint through the finish line, add one more big accomplishment, have one more amazing experience. But what if we approach this time as an opportunity to reflect on what we've already done? Or better yet, what if we use this time to reflect on what we believe and what we value? Or maybe we could just reflect on who we love and why the people in our lives are what matter most during this pandemic. This year has been hard, really hard. We are all experiencing some level of grief and trauma. The other day, as I was grading papers, I was in a funk, and I couldn't pinpoint why until I realized it was simple. I miss my family. I'm sad that I won't be able to hug my parents this Christmas, or have a pint with my twin brother, or geek out on writing with my sister. And yes, I will have my wife, and I will have my kids, and we will have an amazing Christmas. But that doesn't take away the loss of not getting to see my extended family. Some folks have faced far greater trauma. They've lost loved ones to COVID-19, they're dealing with unemployment and financial hardship. But even if that's not you, we've all faced trauma in various ways. Some of it is in the little things, like the lack of a hug or the fact that you can't go on a real date with your spouse, or you can't hear live music and you love live music, or you can't worship together in person in a place of faith, or you can't have coffee with a friend. Now, this year has been a marathon. And every person at the end of a marathon gets a medal. And that's what I love about marathons. It doesn't matter if you walked in part of it. I mean, you might have crawled through part of it. You might have stumbled and had a few friends carry you through mile 15, but you made it to the finish line. People love to rip on participation trophies, but guess what? I think we all deserve a participation trophy this year. At the end of the semester, my hope is that teachers can define success as faithfulness rather than big, tangible results. My hope is that you realize that you are enough and that you've done enough. And I think this is important because defining this year as successful, admitting that, yes, it was imperfect and it was incredibly hard, but you made it. What that does is that allows you to find joy in your work, and that allows you to take creative risks because it's not about risk aversion. And when that happens, you actually become a better teacher. It might sound like you're settling for lower standards. It might sound like you're saying, well, you know, I'm okay with things being not great. But actually, when you do this, you become a better teacher. When you're okay with the imperfection, you can take creative risks. And my hope is that you will look back at the semester and say, oh my gosh, look what we accomplished. I showed up every day. I was there for students. And I couldn't save the world and it wasn't perfect, but who cares? I did the best that I possibly could, given what I had in the situation that I had. A few weeks ago, I made this thank you video for teachers. It was around the time of Thanksgiving, and it was called, you know, Teachers Have Proven How Amazing They Are. And you can check it out at spencervideos.com if you're interested. But I made a mistake on that video. I misspelled innovation because my keyboard has a sticky V key and a sticky H key for some reason, and it's impossible to get to the Apple Store and make an appointment, and it's way harder than it used to be, and it's an hour and a half away. Now, four people pointed out the mistake, and three of them were gracious, but one person lambasted me and asked, what kind of message does it send to the community when a thought leader and an expert can't even spell correctly? And initially, I was going to give a snarky remark. I was going to say, well, I found an innovative way to spell innovative. I'm taking a creative risk by spelling it differently. But I didn't. My answer is this. I'm not an expert. I'm not a thought leader. I'm an educator. I'm a guy on a learning journey. I'm a professor who didn't meet with every student this semester, even though that was my big goal. I have lessons that fail miserably. I have assignments where my feedback could have been better. And yes, I have an occasional video with a typo on it, even though I do proofread them or proof view them. I don't really know how you would say that. What message does that send? Well, I'm hoping the message is that I am imperfect and I'm still on this journey of accepting those imperfections. As educators, we often see memes about how teachers are superheroes, but I've never liked that metaphor. I'd rather be Clark Kent than Superman. I really genuinely believe that that's not who we need to be. When I look at the teacher movies and the articles and the heartwarming stories about going the extra mile, it can fuel in me a sense of insecurity. I can begin to feel like I haven't done enough. I can experience imposter syndrome. Culturally, there's an implied message that we need to do something big. We need to finish that big project. We need to reach every kid. We need to do more. We need to make sure nobody slips through the cracks. And I get it. Artificial goalposts like the end of a semester can spur us out of complacency and give us permission to do something epic. And yet I wonder if the epic life isn't always big. What if it's small? What if it's humble? What if it's so common that we miss out how amazing it actually is in the moment? I'm not sure if this makes any sense, but last week I put together a Lego set with my son Micah. It's the Millennium Falcon. Now, I wanted to redesign it to be the Millennial Falcon, complete with avocado toast and a record player and other things that millennials seem to really like. And I say this being on the cusp of being a millennial. I binge-watched Schitt's Creek and started Kim's Convenience with my daughter, Brenna. I played catch with Joel. I nagged my kids about chores. I double-checked their Canvas dashboards to see if they were actually getting their work done. I took the dogs for a walk, though probably not as often as I should have. I stayed up way too late with the love of my life, just hanging out and talking about real stuff. until she and I finally realized it was well past midnight and we had to get up early in the morning. I had the coolest final night of class with my social studies pedagogy group. I graded papers, I put together slide presentations. I led a distance learning workshop for teachers who were even more tired than me. Now, none of these moments were earth-shattering, but add them up all together and they were epic. And so my hope as you move into the end of the semester and as you move into winter break is that you would tell yourself and remind yourself that you are enough and you've done enough. And the way you're teaching is absolutely epic. Hey, would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.